Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Hear now the word of the Lord. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anatoth, in the territory of Benjamin, the word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, and through the reign Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and do and say whatever I command you. Not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over the nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord came to me, What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree, I replied. The Lord said to me, You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. The word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? I see a pot that is boiling, I answered. It is tilting toward us from the north. The Lord said to me, From the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I am about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms, declares the Lord. Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods, and in worshiping what their hands have made. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Whether it's in the rain or the crops that God provides for us or the food that he gives us or the joy in our hearts or the clear preaching of his holy word, Acts 14:17 says, God has not left himself without testimony. God has not left himself without testimony. The world often looks dire with disasters upon disasters and moral failures upon moral failures and spiritual delusions upon spiritual delusions. Nations arrogantly remove themselves from God's truth and they choose a more expedient way, a way that's different from God's ways and God's truth. Oh, the nations still trust and hope in something, and usually many things, just not God. The money may say, in God we trust, but few really understand what it means or believe it. Even so, no matter how bad it may get in our nation or in other nations, God has not left himself without us. God calls, God commissions servants to speak on his behalf and to testify to his goodness, his holiness, his justice, his presence in the world today. On this Sunday in the church season of Epiphany, we remember that Jesus himself was called to be a prophet. He's our prophet, priest, and king. He speaks the very words of God, and even in his very first sermon in the synagogue in his hometown in Luke chapter 4, Jesus proclaims himself to be the fulfillment of God's word. As Jesus was reading from the prophet Isaiah, and he talked about God's love and grace, that it wasn't just for the Jews and the Jewish people, but it was for the Gentiles too. But his hometown people didn't appreciate his message. They walked him right from the pulpit to the edge of a cliff. But in Luke chapter 4, Jesus just walked through the crowd and went on his way. Prophets of God gonna prophesy. That's what they do. That's what they do. And that's why God called them. That's why God protects and provides for them. God has specifically called certain people throughout history to be spokespersons for him in certain times and places. But there's also the sense that in Christ, by the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit, we are all called to be prophets in our time, in our place. Why? Because God has not left himself without testimony. There's that moment in the Old Testament, in Numbers chapter 11, when these two elders named Eldad and Medad, they start prophesying. And at the time, the Holy Spirit seemed to rest mostly on Moses, and he was doing most of the prophesying. And so Joshua didn't like this generosity of the Spirit or this change in the activity of the Holy Spirit. So he tells Moses to tell these elders to stop. Will Willimon retells this story, saying that Joshua wants Moses to place a prophetic restraining order on these elders for speaking out of turn. And what did Moses say? He says, "Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them. Would that all the Lord's people would be prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them." There could never be too many Spirit-filled prophets, Moses was saying. Now, of course, we know the rest of the story. We can zoom forward in our Bibles to Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit did come to rest on all sorts of people. Retirees, young people out of work, custodians, welders, university students, high school dropouts. In fulfillment of prophecy in Joel chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was poured out on all people after Jesus ascended into heaven, and the Spirit empowered them to do what exactly? Testify. The Holy Spirit empowered them to testify to Jesus, prophesy to the Word and the promises of God fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put His Spirit on them. This morning, in the call of God to Jeremiah, we might discern God's call to us today too, to be Spirit-filled prophets in our day and in our time. But being a prophet of God is not for the faint of heart. It requires thick skin, strong backbone to withstand the intense opposition you experience from your own family and friends and your fellow citizens in your own country. But even that won't be enough. That won't be enough. Tough skin, strong backbone. To be a prophet of God means daily trusting God for both the message and for the means to get the message across. Even when everyone around you is rejecting you and hating you because you are proclaiming and speaking this message. It means listening closely to the words of God so that your message, the message you are communicating, actually matches God's word. So let's take a look at that call of God to Jeremiah this morning in Jeremiah chapter 1. First, God's calling is based on God's sovereign love. His calling is based on God's sovereign love. The call of God to Jeremiah begins with what God has done. It has nothing to do with the wonderful things that Jeremiah has done, or who he is, or what he's accomplished, how perfect he is, or sinless. Of course, he's not. He's not perfect. He's not sinless. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you," the Lord says in verse 5. God knew me? Before I was conceived? Before I had done anything good or bad, right or wrong? Before I had anything on my resume? Yeah, that's right. And he has plans for me in my life before I was born? Yeah, that's right. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." See, Jeremiah was God's choice. Jeremiah was God's election, God's sovereign pick. Literally, it says that God sets him aside as holy for a special purpose. He was called by God for a purpose. And this calling wasn't human-centered. It wasn't a strange dream he had the night before. No, this was a word from the Lord that came to him from outside of the self, from outside of his heart, outside of his mind, outside of the body. The word of the Lord came to him saying, "I knew you before you were born. I'm the one who formed you in the womb, that conception, and I set you apart and appoint you for a special purpose in the world." I believe God's saying that to us today too. "I knew you. I formed you. I call you for a special purpose in the world." But see, Jeremiah also lived during these very troubled times. He lived in an ever-changing political environment. The Assyrian threat maybe was moving out at the time, but the kingdom was already divided in two, right? And so you had Israel, the 10 tribes of Israel, was no more thanks to Assyria. And Judah remained, just Judah, standing between Babylon and Egypt, two superpowers of the day. And now Babylon is getting stronger and gaining in strength and becoming more aggressive. The pot was boiling over. It's at a tipping point. You know, that was the second vision that Jeremiah receives from the Lord. The pot from the north is about to tip over and boil over. In the nation of Judah herself, it was a time of moral decline too, and spiritual decline. So in Jeremiah's prophecy, he lays this all out in the book of Jeremiah, showing the many moral failures of the nation. You see, Jeremiah served in the last 40 years of the kingdom of Judah. He was appointed to preach in the last days, the days before the judgment, the days before Judah was taken into exile to the Babylon by the Babylonians. And God's judgment was coming, and well, Jeremiah was the man to tell them all about it. How's that for a call of God? It was not something the people would want to hear, as you can imagine. They had already ignored the repeated messages to repent, to turn back to the Lord so that the Lord would relent from sending this disaster, but they did not. But before Jeremiah even hears exactly what the mission is, he's already hemming and hawing about the call itself, God's choice. He's already making excuses for why he's not the right person for the job. And God just says, I love you. You are deeply valued, important to me. I've called you for a special purpose. I choose you, Jeremiah. I choose you. Jeremiah is saying, wait a minute, you think that's a good idea, God? You've got the wrong man. You ever try to tell God that he's got the wrong number? You ever try to block God's call on your life, hoping his message doesn't get through? But it doesn't work, let me tell you. God still gets through. But God, you've got the wrong man, Jeremiah says, and he proceeds to give excuses for why he's not up for the task. Verse 6. It says, alas, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I didn't have a speech class in college. Lord, here you are calling me to speak publicly. And no, it's just not going to work. Jeremiah also says in verse 6, well, I'm too young. This is a job for the elderly. This is a job for older people, more experienced than me. Lord, I'm just too young for this. Does Jeremiah even know who he's speaking with? Does he know the Lord? Could Yahweh, the Lord, even choose the wrong person? God says, no, 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 you're the man. You are my choice. In fact, I'm appointing you, knowing everything about you, knowing all of your limitations, knowing all of your fears, all of your insecurities, knowing all of your sinfulness. I know exactly who you are. I'm still calling you. I'm still choosing you to do this. You, as you are who I want to be my prophet to the nations. In God's sovereign love, he reassures Jeremiah in verses 7 and 8, saying, do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and I will rescue you. God says it's not about you. It's not about how perfect and wonderful you are and what a great public speaker you are or anything like that. It's about me. Don't look at and focus on what you do not have. Look at me and focus on what I have as the sovereign, almighty God. Look at me, God says. I'm sending you and I will be with you, and that's all that matters. I will be enough for you, God says. I will be enough for you because I will be with you. That's what you need to know. That's what you need to remember. God's calling is based on God's sovereign love. He knew us before time. He formed us in the womb and set us apart for his purposes in the world. God's sovereign love for his creation gives all of human life meaning and purpose, whether preborn or born or elderly or disabled. Each of us are called to a special purpose in this life. God is calling us to a special purpose in this life. not just to eat and drink and to make the days go by. There's a reason why you're here. A reason why you're still alive. God has a reason for you. Would that all of God's people were prophets. God's calling is based on his sovereign love. And secondly, this morning, God's calling comes with God's equipping. God's calling comes with God's equipping. Jeremiah was loved by God, called by God for a special task as a prophet to the nations. God promised to be with him through it all. But all of that doesn't mean that this task is going to be glorious or majestic and full of parades and accolades and prizes from the ones he serves. Jeremiah was called to preach in the last days of the nation, remember. And the message? It was a message of the coming doom and gloom and judgment because of the rebellion that the people were doing and following these other gods. That would not be a popular message among the people. Most only want to hear what their itching ears want to hear in any day and age, right? You know, feel-good sermons. Preach to us about glory and health and wealth, Pastor. That's what we want to hear. We don't want to hear no downer sermons. So Jeremiah will be preaching this unpopular message for some 40 years. 40 years. This is his career. This is his life. This is his calling. Is God calling you to a difficult task this morning? I wonder, might your calling from God be similar? Might you be called to speak to a rebellious people? In your family? In your nation? People who have stopped listening to God's word or respecting it as having authority in their lives? Could it be that God is calling you to serve in a way that is maybe menial or hidden or out of the limelight, where very few people even really notice and you never get pats on the back? Might you be called to challenge the status quo and speak up with an unpopular message or position? Go against the grain or the crowds or your friends because God said, I appointed you as my prophet for this time. For this purpose. The calling of God is not about your glory or your status or your level of perfection. It won't always be easy when you heed God's call in your life, but God does say he will go with you and he will be enough for you. He will equip you for the journey, whatever it is. Take a look at verses 9 and 10. Then the Lord reached out his hand and he touched my mouth and he said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over the nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Jeremiah didn't know how to speak publicly. He thought he was too young to be a prophet. He thought he was the wrong man for the job. But God says, you're the one. I appoint you. I call you to go and to speak. I will give you the words to say. It will be my message that you'll be giving. It's not Jeremiah who would do the uprooting and tearing down, the destroying and overthrowing himself. No, it's the function of God's word that he will speak to the people and to the nations. God's word is powerful and effective. In verse 12, the Lord is watching to see that his word is fulfilled. That's interesting, watching to see that his word is fulfilled. It's a play on words in the Hebrew, the almond tree branch. It sounds like the Hebrew word for to watch. God will watch over his word. That first vision to Jeremiah about the branch in the almond tree. God will watch over his word. See, Jeremiah's job is to be faithful in speaking the word that God gives him. God will ensure that his word will accomplish what he wants. He will watch over his word. The prophet is called to obedience, to faithfulness, to trust and courage. You see, Jeremiah is a new Moses for the era. And I'm sure you've noticed similarities in this passage of the burning bush when Moses came up with his own set of excuses for why he thought he wasn't up for the job. In fact, it is as if God purposely chooses people who know and feel their own inadequacies. How could you not, standing before a holy God? It's almost as if God says, watch and see what I can do, knowing you perfectly, through your weaknesses, through your insecurities and limitations, your disabilities, your fears. For when you are weak, I am strong. I am strong through you. A prophet in troubled times must know and have faith that with God, all things are possible. God's calling comes with God's equipping. See, Jeremiah, the new Moses, is ushering this new age by calling people to repentance and to lament and turn back to God. But even so, they must still submit to this exile and going into Babylon. It's going to come. It's going to happen. God still has a wondrous future, though, for his people and a new covenant that he talks about later on in Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah lives and serves in this constant tension between the tearing down and the building up throughout his lifetime as he's preaching these words of judgment, that the judgment of God is coming, the pot is boiling over, but there's this new covenant coming on the horizon. Jeremiah 31, where it says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." The prophet talks about tearing down and uprooting, but also about building up and planting. He still holds out this hopeful message that God has for his people. And don't forget that in your reading of Jeremiah. And it was Jesus Christ who one day in the upper room planted these words with his disciples. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink. Remember. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus would cut a new covenant in his blood in the cross in fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy, the words that God put in his mouth. You see, Jesus would be a greater prophet, a greater suffering servant, one who points us to a greater age of glory that awaits those who believe in him as Lord and Savior of their lives. And so we remember that as we partake of the Lord's Supper today. See, we're all called to be prophets in our own time. The Pentecostal Spirit has been poured out upon all sorts of people, empowering us to testify to Jesus. God has not left himself without testimony. Traditionally, a prophet brings the word of God to bear on the issues of the day and communicates that word to the people of the day. If you are a Christ follower today, God has placed his word in your mind and in your heart. He calls us to learn and study and memorize and be prepared to engage these troubled times with his holy word. Like with Jeremiah, we are called to be obedient, to be faithful to the call. God will keep watch over his word. He will see to it that his purposes are fulfilled as the word goes out. Could his purpose be to tear down and destroy? Well, sinful, evil structures and cultures in society and corporations and churches and families exist. So yes, it could be to tear down and destroy. Culture is not neutral. It can be evil. It could have evil elements. But the purpose of his word is also to build up and to plant a new culture. New attitudes, new behaviors, new structures of justice and peace in this world. And we're called to that too, to make this world a better place. And part of the building and planting that God's Holy Spirit is doing even today is calling people to serve in these troubled times. It begins with knowing your worth, though, knowing who you are and whose you are, knowing your value as the one whom God knew from before time, God who knit you together in your mother's womb. And when the word of God is planted within you and begins to grow and take root, well, you grow into God's calling for your life. You're here for a reason. You're here for a purpose God has for you. God's calling is based on his sovereign love for you, and his calling comes with his equipping for ministry, for the task, and for a lifetime. So praise be to God who is and always will be with us. Would you pray with me? God of calling and God of transformation, we praise your name today. Thank you for loving us with an everlasting love. Thank you for valuing us, serving us, coming to us even when we're running away from you. Help us to be faithful and obedient today as we listen for and heed your calling in our lives. Forgive us for being so worried about pleasing others and seeking the recognition of others instead of being focused on pleasing you and being faithful to the calling you've placed on our lives. Help us to hear you clearly today, O Lord, and to always be ready to prophetically speak your word of truth, in our time. And we praise you for the new covenant in the blood of Jesus that we remember and celebrate here today at the communion table. May your name, Father, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, receive all of the glory, honor, and praise. Amen.